What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome you into another edition of Meet Me at Musial, the opening Musial of June, as the calendar has flipped. Although, as I stare at my calendar on the wall, I see that one hasn't, so I need to fix that. June 1st, and while the calendar may have flipped, things haven't changed just a whole heck of a lot. I'm Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the Bat, at C70 on Twitter, and with me, as always, is Alan Medlock of the Redbird Daily and AMedlock1 on Twitter. And Alan, the Cardinals have a wonderful, amazing come-from-behind win last night, put up 5 runs in the 9th, which is more than they do in a lot of games, but have this great rally, and then they turn around tonight and lose 4-0, and that's... It's the same old stuff. It's just, there's no traction for this team, it doesn't feel like.
No, definitely not. It's, you know, last night was one I felt like they had that they desperately needed for, I don't know if it's Cardinal morale or Cardinal fan base morale, but they needed it. Especially after the Reyes, all the buildup, and to see what happened to him, and then you get the news that he's hurt. You just knew that there's a chance they come out flat, but if they rallied, they needed the win last night. So it was so it was awesome to see that in the 9th last night, especially with Bader starting it off and with Munoz with the bomb. You know, it all pointed to good things. And then, you know, come out today and then you see all you'll hear about is how well Taillon looked. And he very well did and could have pitched, you know, one of the better games he's going to throw this year. But that's just become too common with this Cardinal offense. It's just terrible at this point. It's really, really hard to get super motivated to think that they're going to make any serious run on this when they can't score any runs. And I mean, there was no even hard contact tonight, really.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the 5th, or they didn't get their first hit till like the 5th, and they didn't even at that point.
No.
Yeah, and then even at that point, they hadn't hit the ball into the outfield at that point. I mean, it was nothing. And Taillon's a good pitcher. Don't get me wrong. You're right. There's a lot of tipping your hat there, but just too many times we've seen this. I mean, there's
we end up, and I agree with you. I think he looked good tonight. It was, but we just end up saying that about too many starters.
Yeah, and a guy that the Cardinals had just seen. I mean, I think his last start was against him, and he gave up 3 runs in 6 innings or something. It was a good game, but nothing spectacular. Definitely not what we saw tonight. And you know, it is very difficult to really put a finger on. I think you can put a finger on a lot of the problems, but it's hard to find solutions to those problems. We're starting to see Dexter Fowler hit a little bit more. Obviously, Matt Carpenter has been on a tear, but Tommy Pham isn't hitting. Jose Martinez, well, I'd better look because I keep thinking he's not hitting it. He's definitely not fielding, which is a question we have to talk about later on. You've got Ozuna, who is getting his average up, but he's just hitting, you know, infield singles or you know, nothing for power. He hasn't hit anything for power in a long time. And, I mean, not even just home run power. He's only got, like, 1 double in the last... I forgot what I tweeted out today, but it was, like, the last 10 days or something. He's got, you know, 1 extra base hit. You know, again, we can kind of point to this is what's, you know, and they're obviously missing Yadier Molina, who could be back next week. They're obviously missing Paul DeJong, who's still got a ways to go. But you look at this team, and, you know, I mean, Tyler O'Neill gave him a boost for a little bit, but then the league kind of figured him out for a while. Now he's back in Memphis. You know, you can try to play Bader every day, and you probably hope to, but you're still going to have Ozuna and you're still going to have Fowler in there at some, and you're going to have Pham in there who, you know, we can talk about him in a minute too, but really, really is struggling. I mean, I don't know that you can just shuffle the deck a little bit and things are going to do better.
I agree. I mean, there's a lot of tough questions to answer, you know, right now about how they're going to turn things around. It's one of those that Bader right now, it's going to be tough to set just because he brings so much energy to the team. You know, tonight will be one of those situations. You can almost guarantee he probably won't play tomorrow unless, you know, either Ozuna or Fowler banged up a little bit. I don't know. I mean, it's tough to watch right now, and I just don't think there's any easy answers, and it may not be even on the roster right now. I mean, I don't know, but then they just backed themselves into a corner to where it's almost have to come from outside the organization if they are truly going to look to where, you know, they're going to, if they're going to compete.
Yeah, I think that, kind of looking that way too. I will say Jose Martinez, over his last 12 games is hitting .195. So, and that counts a three hit game in there, against the Pirates. So he's scuffling a little bit as well right now. I know we've said that before and then pulled the numbers up and he really wasn't, but, and I don't know. Let's see. He had a home run back on May 18th. That looks like the last one he's had. And I think that's just a lot of, I mean, we saw it last night, you know, Munoz walked it off with a homer, but I guess maybe it's selective memory, but it doesn't feel like they're just hitting a whole lot of home runs. They come here and there, and sometimes they're very important ones. I know that, you know, they've walked off a number of games this year with homers, but, you know, they're definitely not, this is not Mark McGwire's Cardinals or anything like that. It's not Whitey Herzog's either, but it just doesn't feel like the home run is really a significant part of their game.
Yeah, that's the one thing. If I don't know if you've listened to this week's best podcast in baseball, but yeah. Gould kind of, he hit the nail on the head about something. He said, of the three true outcomes, the Cardinals are only really good at one of them, and it's striking out. And said that, they even in their hits, I mean, they're not driving the ball. You know, that's the thing. They're really tough on themselves right now because they're not working out of problems. They're way ahead of last year's strikeout rate, which was the highest in history, and. It's tough to watch. I would personally like to see more lineup changes. You know, I know that they dabble here and there, move some guys back and forth. Like, I'd like to see them, instead of moving Ozuna down, maybe hit him third for a series. Just to get in that first inning. Just to get in the flow. To have somebody behind him, you know, just to see fastballs maybe. Because what I think with Ozuna, I think that you're going to see if he does come out of this, and I'm starting to question it more and more every day that he's going to, I think you're going to see Ozuna rocket a ball through the wall. He's just going to destroy it, and then it's going to start coming back. You know, I get to see that. I almost thought something like that would happen tonight, where he could kind of get in on the excitement of the Munoz home run from last night. Obviously, there was no hangover to that at all. But I just think you're going to see him just hit a rocket, or just hit a bomb at some point and really get on track. With that being said, I would like to see it early in the game just to get more at-bats and try to kickstart this in some way. Because it seems like anybody they try in that three-hole ultimately falls into a slump. So you can keep trying. No one's grabbed and run with it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that may be a chance tonight or tomorrow to where you can go Carpenter, you can go Pham, who I'm assuming is going to be back in the lineup, which we'll probably have to discuss him here a little bit too. Then Ozuna, and then maybe a Martinez, and just kind of dabble, try to kickstart it in some way. I mean, that's one of the only ways that you're going to be able to do it in the short term.
And we've seen a little bit of that. I mean, there was one day, last, I think early in the week or into last week, where Ozuna slipped into the sixth spot for a day. Now that was only, it only lasted a day, and then he's been back in the fourth spot when he's been in there after that jammed finger. I will say, but before I get too far away, it is interesting. The Cardinals have actually doing a little bit better in home runs than I thought. They're tied for 11th in baseball, fourth in the National League, with 66 homers. Of course, that's probably, I don't know how up to date that is. It's definitely through yesterday's game. I don't know if it's up to date. I know the Cardinals didn't hit any, and maybe some other teams did, but, so that just surprised me a little bit. It is funny that they've got two triples and they've gave up two triples tonight. And that's not the only time this year they've given up back-to-back triples, which is gotta be weird. But anyway, that's other topics. Yeah, no, you're right. It doesn't hurt to, you know, maybe you move Carpenter back to third. I know he's hit well in leadoff, but he was hitting well before he went to leadoff. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you move him back to third and, you know, try to get some, you know, maybe you do try to play Bader more often in earlier up, you know, in that second spot or even the first spot. Maybe let Harrison Bader lead off because he's definitely got the speed to do it. And he can turn on a ball too. You know, try a few things out. I mean, they've had opportunities to do that, right? With Molina out, with DeJong out, and you're having to kind of scramble anyway. But I don't know that we've seen a lot of it. And, you know, I guess we did some because he did play Tyler O'Neill a few times, even after the fact that he struck out like 11 of his 11 out of 15 at bats or something like that. And, it was pretty obvious the league was catching up to him. But nothing is caught. You know, you get a game like last night and you think, well, maybe you could try to work with that. And, you know, it kind of fizzles out again tonight. So, you know, the lineup is about the only thing you can do right now, I guess. Because you're right. It may be that it takes something outside the organization, but this is not a, you know, not a, Mozeliak doesn't like to pull his trigger that early. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. And I know that Gersh is available here, and maybe you have to, but he's not a June trader by usual standards.
Yeah, I mean, patience is a strength of the organization. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But it's tough to, it seems like the patience is kind of worn thin on this, the complacency of the team seems like it's been here since the second part of 15.
Yeah.
You know, it just seemed like this is the pattern of, okay, they're going to go on a run. This is where it starts. And it just hasn't happened. I mean, we said that almost every Friday last year. Mm-hmm. That is this where it takes off, and it just never happened. I felt like that was the same thing in 17 as well. So yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't know what the breaking point is on that. I do feel like they're close to a point of where they are going to shake it up in some way. And it's going to have to be outside the organization because they've seen everybody in Memphis already. So, you know, I don't know. It's growing frustrating. And my sights aren't even that high on the team, you know, right now. It's weird to say that they're, you know, what are they still? They're still 5-6 games over 500, correct?
Yeah, 30-25 after tonight's loss.
So, and for missing DeJong and missing Molina and having all the injury issues they have, it's amazing that they're in that spot. But it just seems like they're real close to being lapped in the division. You know, before, you know, the middle of June when you really, I don't even start counting the standings until then. So, I don't know. It seems like they're on really thin ice right now.
I pulled up my data that I used, for my John Mozeliak trade history posts, which you can find at the conclave that I did a couple years ago. And the only trade Mo made in June was the Mark DeRosa trade and that was June 27th. Of course, that didn't work out very well when DeRosa
got hurt. Yeah, I guess that. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and I don't remember. It seems like there was some sort of injury or some sort of push that made that a little bit more pressing. But anyway, that's as early. I mean, he's made a few other small trades before that, but they weren't anything they're more of a, you know, cash considerations type or something small, but nothing, you know, most of most notable trades are right there in that last week of July. I mean, either that or the off season.
Yeah. And that was, you said 2007 with
2009.
Nine. That's what I thought, because I kept thinking, because they were so good in nine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it has never got off the ground for him. But go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's, I mean, that's right. I mean, that's, I mean, because he made that deal, and then, you know, a couple months later, he made the holiday deal. So, but that was right there, that last mm-hmm. week of July, and that's typically what we're going to see. So it seems difficult to believe that they'll go ahead and pull the trigger early. Partly because they have to wind up paying more to other teams.
Oh, yeah.
Trade market is not established, but,
that would be the biggest part right now. Just because as a team that is going to be a legit seller, it's better for you to wait. You will let your market play out. You know, in order to get anybody now, the Cardinals would way have to overpay, I would think.
Yeah, but you know, then on the flip side of that, I mean, and I've already made this argument many a time, and I know that, you know, there are reasons for it, but if you wait until July 28th to make a trade, you've only got that guy for 2 months.
Yeah.
You know? Or, you know, especially if it's a rental type guy, you know, maybe he gains you two games a month, but if you're 5 games out, 6 games out, 8 games out at the deadline, you know, that's not going to be enough. Whereas if you can get him now, you've got a whole extra month with that player.
Sure.
2 extra months because you have June and July. And it's probably can be worth paying a little bit more for him. To, you know, would you rather, I mean, if you could do it.
I agree with that.
If you can get Manny Machado today versus, you know, August 1st on your team, that's going to make a huge difference. And I'm not just an example, but again, I get that there's other kinds of considerations and stuff like that, and they're not going to do that. But it always feels to me that they tend to wait and wait and wait. And sometimes the season gets lost when they're waiting.
That's true. That's very true. There is a fear of pulling the trigger a lot of times. And seeing now with, like, you know, the last offseason, they obviously had interest in Eaton, but didn't want to pay that price, you know. And then this year, I really thought it was telling that DeWitt III mentioned Arrieta while we were there, mm-hmm. and he said, well, he was just asking for, you know, too much money. Essentially, is what he said. So you knew that they dabbled in both of those. So I just don't know what their comfort level is, and I think that they probably need to go beyond it. Think about this. I mean, they got Ozuna, who actually the return on investment has not been great on that, of course. Mm-hmm. But you haven't missed anybody they've traded.
No.
You know, because, you know, Alcantara would be lost in the shuffle right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe a bullpen consideration, but, you know, that he was surpassed by Helsley anyway, and we haven't seen Helsley either. You know, so one of those things, I know it's kind of apples to oranges in that scenario. I don't know. I mean, are they going to be gun shy to make another move like that? I don't know. I feel like there needs to be a shakeup, and that there will be. I think that it's kind of gotten to the Alan Craig type situation for somebody. I don't know. I'm not necessarily saying one person in particular, but I do think there's going to be moves.
You know, and I would like to think so. Maybe so. Now, you know, we talked about Machado earlier, and I don't want to get away from the news that came out this week where Buster Olney, I believe, reported that the Cardinals, at least the Orioles, thought they were making progress on a deal with the Cardinals to send Machado here, until the Cardinals walked away from the table. That Jed Jarko would have gone to Baltimore, and some levels of pitching prospects. Now, it could be that they asked for Hicks. It could have been that they asked for Flaherty. They could have asked for Reyes or whatever, and they just, you know, Cardinals weren't going to necessarily pay that price. But it is interesting that they, you know, we saw them go hard after Stanton to know that they were at least in the, you know, possibly the best bidder. I mean, it's a low bar because I don't know that the Orioles were really motivated to move Machado. Obviously, they weren't too much since he didn't go. But it's kind of interesting that they were in that mix. And it makes you wonder if they overvalued some of those pitching prospects. Even though they've been very effective for the Cardinals this year, you know, depending on what that mix was, would Manny Machado not be better than... Would Manny Machado do better to this team than Jack Flaherty? Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree with you. I mean, especially what you look at there, what they're missing right now. Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind, 2 months ago, we thought Ozuna was going to be that missing component.
Sure, sure.
So, if, just like last year, it's not like we can blame a lot of the moves. Guys just didn't perform. Mm-hmm. And we kind of feel like that this year. But now you think, okay, we cannot ride another season out like this. We've got to rectify it. And we've got to go get another proven commodity. And we may have to overpay to get the one that we know is going to be proven. And that would be a Machado type situation. My first reaction on that were, I really like Olney. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I don't think he would throw out misinformation. But for some reason, that deal doesn't sound like that makes a lot of sense to me, though, because why would they want to take Jericho money back, especially three more years of it?
But it's, you know, that's not too bad, though.
No, it's not. But there, that's one part of the deal. I guess you want to. I guess you would need a placeholder, and he could maybe perform for him. But that doesn't seem like the kind of move that you would make. It seems like that would spur a rebuild. Not to bring in three more years of a third baseman and a pitching prospect. That was what I thought in the beginning. But I'm terrible about judging these trades.
Oh, yeah.
I will tell you that. I'm really bad.
I am too. And it could have been that was, you know, the Cardinals knew, one, they were going to have no room for Jerko. Two,
yeah.
You're right.
It would almost have to take him. And you're right. You're right. I get that. Unless, I would think that
they could have flipped Jerko too. I mean, they could have flipped him.
In a situation like that, I mean, the power is probably intriguing on a Jericho, but I would still say that Wong would be the one that teams would want. Unless they really, truly feel like his offense is bottomed out, and I'm not so certain that that's not the case. But somebody like that, young, with a, and I don't even know the age difference necessarily in them, but I don't know why that just seems like a more viable trade candidate. But I will say this, and we can just debate this a little bit more, but I know I agree with you wholeheartedly on maybe overvaluing some of these, because think about this. Even after Ozuna, all that we heard was, hey, Longoria's narrowed this down to a couple teams he'll go to, and St. Louis is one of them. Mm-hmm. And that was just a veteran bat that they wanted to get on the corners, and they obviously felt like they needed to do that, not only at a third base level to where Jericho could play everywhere, but you and I knew and had heard that they were looking for other first base options, mm-hmm. that they were worried about Carpenter. So they were obviously looking for another bat, which does make you think that everybody's asking about these prospects, and they're just not going to give them up, and they may have waited too long on some of them.
It's possible. And again, I mean, obviously they're getting value out of these guys. I mean,
sure.
You know.
Well, just like Mo said at Blogger Day last year, if you pitch, you win. And they seem to have always, they've always felt that way. I'm just worried that there's too many wasted opportunities because the bullpen is not good and the lineup is really sorry right now, that they're going to lose too many opportunities and fall too far behind in the race. And I can't believe I'm saying this on June 1st.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, this is hopefully then one of those kind of shows that comes back and bites us in August, and we're like, you know, why are y'all guys giving up on them? And I don't think we're giving up on them necessarily, but, well, you know, it's kind of like I pointed out to you today. You know, we're talking, there was a lot of people putting out today that, you know, the Cardinals are on a 90-win pace, which is good. I mean, obviously 90 wins is good, but, you know, one, there were six other teams that had a better pace or the same pace. I mean, 90 win. If everybody sticks with this, 90 wins isn't going to get you into the playoffs. But two, as I pointed out to you, you know, the Cardinals are 7-0 against the Reds, which the Reds are bad. But that's still, you know, even if they go 5-2 against them so far this year, which is reasonable, I think. I think that's kind of in line with, yes, we're beating the bad teams. Then this team is what, 28-27 it's after today's loss. It's basically a 500 team, and that's what this team feels like right now. It feels like that because we see it. We see them win a game, then they lose a game. They lose a couple, win a couple. There's no consistent anything for them. They don't even go on long losing streaks. I mean, it's just... it's a team that just kind of is bobbing along. And not that that kind of team can't kick it up. I mean, I know that there were some years that Tony, and I'd have to look at them, but, you know, maybe even, you know, 2010, of course, and there's always 2011, but in 2009, maybe there were some years the Cardinals under La Russa, just kind of bobbled around 500, and then second half kicked it on and, you know, wound up 15, 20 games over 500 or whatever. And they've done maybe a little bit of that under Matheny, probably in, 14, 15, somewhere there. I think they had some a little bit of that too. But, you know, right now, when you look at it in the moment, it's just so hard to see where this team's going to get any traction.
Yeah, and it seems like we've been saying that for 2.5 years.
Yep.
That's what's concerning to me, is just like there's just no spark. Is it the collection of players? Is it management mindset? You know, I really don't know. I mean, that's I know I made that comment to you a couple weeks ago. I said I was glad when they weren't scoring runs because you weren't that upset about the losses. Mm-hmm. But now after a night like last night, you're thinking, okay, this is where they can make a run. You turn around, you see Milwaukee get beat today. And, of course, that had no bearing on what happened in the Cardinal game. But it's just – they just can't get out of their own way sometimes.
Yeah, it is frustrating all the way around. And speaking of frustrating, let's get into what is – I don't even know. I don't know that frustrating is the right word, although it kind of fits. It's painful. It's aggravating. It's sad. It's everything. You know, we see the return of Alex Reyes this week. Everybody's excited. Everybody's pumped. Everybody's kind of feeling like this is that kick in the pants, maybe. You know, even though he can't hit.
Sure. I'm guilty. Yeah.
You know, you weren't the only one. I mean, it's a lot of people that were just really fired up about Alex Reyes returning, and they should have been. I mean, he looks so great in the rehab. He's obviously got this pedigree behind him of being this top prospect, even though we didn't get to see just a lot of it in 16. We saw flashes. And we're very looking forward to seeing him start on a regular basis. So he goes out there, he throws 4 innings, he gets pulled, and now he has a lat strain that the Cardinals are determining is severe or serious, or I don't remember exactly the words that Gersh used, but it reminded me a little bit of Adam Wainwright in 2011 in spring training, mm-hmm. where he goes and he's hurt, and before they even have a chance to, you know, get an opinion or get him diagnosed, they're already basically saying he's out for the season. I mean, it's that bad. We know it's, you know, they were that. And that's kind of what they're going with here. Lat strain, you know, Carlos Martinez is coming back from a lat strain. Obviously not as severe, but that's where they said he'll miss a start, and he's going to miss probably 4. It looks like he's going to pitch Tuesday in the big leagues, although his rehab start, at least, you know, I didn't watch it, but from what we can gather from the results, not necessarily great. And there was a first-hand account written up on at a SDL bullpen, John Fleming's news site, of a guy that was actually there at Springfield watching it. And, you know, his opinion, unqualified, I mean, he's no scout, but, you know, just his layman opinion, is Carlos didn't necessarily look that comfortable. Now, again, it sounds like they're going to have him pitch on Tuesday, and hopefully that means it's all for the best. But, you know, in Reyes's case, you know, if a minor lat strain, which is, I guess, what Carlos had, gets you 4, I mean, you're looking at what? You know, I think there's a significant chance that we don't see Alex Reyes again this year.
I agree.
I hope not, but that's the case. No.
I completely agree with you, and that's. I have even asked some of the surgeons that I know around here. I asked the same thing. I go, how much of a precursor to this is major shoulder issues? He said, well, I'm not worried about that. He said it's posterior shoulder. He goes, I'm not worried about anything more. I don't think it's a precursor to any rotator cuff. I don't think you're going to have any labral tears, anything like that. He said, he goes, but it is probably an indication of pushing yourself back too hard. And it's one of those that just takes time. He said, don't be surprised if you see him the last month of the season, if you see him at all. It was word for word what he told me today. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, well, that kind of makes sense. And it was one of those to where I hate this for Reyes. I feel really bad for him. And then you start wondering, you're just like, well, if he can bounce back and be Strasburg, who kind of has some of the same, has had some of the same injury history that Reyes did, but with more of a major league pedigree at that point. If he can bounce back to be Strasburg, I think we're all going to be pretty happy. But now there's that thing in the back of your head of, is this a missed opportunity that the Cardinals are always going to have? And that's worrisome. Yeah, that's what kind of bothers me the most about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, if he does miss all this year, then he's basically missed two straight years, which is, at the beginning of his career, you worry about what that does for his development. I mean,
sure.
You know, next year, he can't throw the 150 or so innings that they were hoping he could. He's going to have to tone that down to maybe 110, 120, and he'll kind of build up from that because he just hadn't done it, and unfortunately. And, you know, after two significant injuries like this, you do start to wonder, is he ever going to be that pitcher that we thought he was going to be? And you're right. I mean, Strasburg's had some injury problems, and he's been able to be very effective. I don't know that Strasburg is so hyped. It was very difficult, even if he had been healthy. I don't know if he could have really lived up to that. But, you know, he's still obviously a very good pitcher.
Sure.
But, you know, there had a chance to be something special with Alex Reyes, and you just wonder if that's going to be lost with all this.
Well, sure. I feel bad for him in that train of thought. You know, I was like, that kind of stinks.
For sure. And you know, I mean, he's done so much trying to play ball and to have his body give out on him, and not because he's old. I mean, this is not Adam Wainwright running into issues, you know, at the end of his career. This is a guy that's should be in prime health, and, you know, Tommy John gets everybody, or just about, but then to have this happen, and in a situation where we didn't really even see, I mean, I know the trainer came out late, but didn't really see an obvious cause. But, you know, there it was. And so it's frustrating. And it kind of gets into, you know, not only, as you said, you know, or I think you did, and I know some others you have somewhere along the way, even if it hasn't been on the show, you know, it's coming out of their depth. It's not like they've lost a hitter that they're really kind of relying on. You know, on the flip side of that is, does that impact how they go about the trading deadline? You and I were talking about it earlier, but, you know, when you have Alex Reyes and you have six starters for five spots, and you've got guys like Dakota Hudson and John Gann and Austin Gomber that can pitch in those spots, maybe you trade a Weaver, maybe you trade a Flaherty, if the return is, like you said, consistent and you know, reliable, and you know what you're getting back, and it's not a gamble. Without Reyes, are you more hesitant to do that?
It makes me wonder where I honestly thought one of the key arms would get moved. I just don't know now. I mean, I it seems like if they held on to him this long, they're gonna continue to do so. There's a list. I think anybody that we've seen in the bigs right now is probably safe. And when I say seen in the bigs, have seen an appearance in the big leagues. You know, I'll leave it at that.
You're not saying Mr. Gomber's safe.
No, it makes no sense that he didn't pitch tonight, by the way.
I don't know.
Yeah. So it's frustrating. The roster management on that is very frustrating. So I don't know. I still, last year I was thinking they're going to do something big. They're going to go out and they're going to get somebody big because they know that they're close. And the window may be closing for the guys like, about Carpenter, possibly Molina. Molina hadn't played like it, and Carpenter hadn't necessarily hit like it in the past, you know, 2.5 weeks. So, but I don't know, and I would love to say that they're going to go in and shake something up and say, hey, what we have is not working. We've got to add something to this. And go out and move some parts around and bring something back, but I just don't know. I mean, I don't, at this point, I would probably be upset for them to move either Weaver Waka or Flaherty. You know, it's like, oh, those are the proven commodities now. I mean, I don't know if and I don't know if you could afford to do that. And you see what happens with some of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, there is that for sure. You know, that being said, sometimes you get more for a proven commodity than you do for gamble too.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anybody that we want to see moved. You know, there's some that maybe that hurt less than others, but there's nobody in that rotation or even coming up, I think, that we're saying, yeah, we can lose him. Except mm-hmm. maybe Austin Gomber, because we never get to see him anyway. But I know Joe Schwartz especially is chomping at the bit to see Gomber pitch in the big leagues.
Sure.
So it would probably kill Joe if they traded him. But, you know, I don't know. I think that, yeah, I don't know. I mean, with so many arms there, it's tough not to say, look, you may take a little bit of a downgrade to put John Gant in the rotation or to put Austin Gomber or to put Dakota. You don't know what you're going to get with Dakota Hudson. Maybe you, you know, but you know, that little downgrade might be worth it if you're going to significantly upgrade someplace else. You know, now again, you're right. It needs to be something established. It needs to be something obvious. I mean, you look at Josh Donaldson this year. He's hitting 224. He's on the DL right now. He's been hurt for a lot of the year. You can't trade significant pieces for Josh Donaldson and hope that he's going to be healthy and hope that he can adjust to the National League. You can't do that. Now, again, the Cardinals are not going to – I just don't feel like they're going to, but – and I don't know that the Orioles – again, the Orioles are kind of a – all from all reports are kind of a crazy organization anyway, and you never know what they're going to do. You know, they may hold Manny Machado all year long, which mm-hmm. would be not what anybody else would do. But, you know, if you can get him, I'm almost to the point, let's put it that way. I'm almost to the point that even though it's not necessarily the smartest move to trade significant pieces for Machado with the idea that he could walk at the end of the year, that's, you know, I'm almost to the point where you almost do it anyway. Because he is that reliable guy. We've seen what he's doing this year. You wouldn't think that the change to the National League would be that huge for him, hopefully. Although, after seeing Marcell Ozuna come in, and Jason Heyward come in, and other people come in, you kind of wonder if it doesn't matter, the guy could hit like 100 home runs somewhere else and come to St. Louis and not do anything. You know, I don't know.
That's a definite concern.
So, but you know, like I said, it's not the smartest baseball move. It's not the smartest business move. And it's not a move that the Cardinals are likely to do. But, I don't know. I mean, part of me just feels like that's the only kind of move that's going to get this team somewhat on track. And it may not either. And it may have been, you know, you'd hate it after Machado walks at the end of the year and Jack Flaherty becomes an all-star in Baltimore, you know, whatever. You might hate it, but I think there comes to a point you just gotta gamble, because what they're doing now is not working. What they're doing now, you know, and again, they gotta do something. Maybe it's the shakeup. Maybe it's to, you know, bring a new different hitting coach in. We've talked about John Mabry in the past, and I'm not advocating for somebody to lose their job, but you gotta, you know, maybe, like I said, maybe it's not his fault, but maybe you just need a fresh voice. I don't know. But I think we've kind of come to the agreement. They can't keep doing this or they're going to be, you know, 84, 85, 86 wins.
Yeah.
And this year, they may not even be that close to a wild card.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's what's troubling about it is, where we talk about the patience is the virtue a lot of times with them. I don't know if it's not going to be a detriment this year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, and again, they know more about this stuff than we do. They're smarter about this stuff. I mean, every time I advocate for something, I'm usually wrong. So I get that. But from the outside looking in, when you watch a team that just, you know, a 3-game winning streak is about all you could hope for. And they follow that up with, you know, probably a 2-game losing streak. You're not going anywhere. And if this was April, then you wouldn't worry too much about it. But it's June now.
Sure.
And you're past the third of a season. You've got 2/3 of the season left. And, you know, there's going to be some frustrated fans. There's going to be, I know tonight was a, you know, huge game, apparently, sellout. 47,000 or something like that. But there's going to be some small crowds come into this month, into July, when the heat starts going and the team's still flip-flopping. I mean, boy, I tell you, you can't get on Twitter anymore and feel good about this team.
No, and that's it. You know, it's one thing I do agree. I'm, you know, not as dire as some of the guys. Some people over the top. We both understand that. But I will say this: they're boring to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you and I are guys that watch every night, day in, day out. And that's what's so nice about having a Bader and having a Munoz and having some new blood. Because they're really, it's just kind of boring. Mm. You know, the 7th, 8th, and 9th tonight, I thought was terrible. Yeah. You know, there was, I didn't feel like you had any chance at all.
Mm. No.
And that's, and you and I talked about this today, what I loved having that win last night, right before a Michaelis start. Well, Michaelis didn't have his best stuff and still held them to 2 runs. I mean, you got to battle back in that situation. They just couldn't do anything.
Well, and then those 2 runs weren't really his fault too much.
No.
I mean, he gave that liner down the line that I think a better first baseman at least knocks down, but mm-hmm. completely missed Jose Martinez. And then, I mean, depending on who you talk to, you know, Dexter Fowler couldn't get to the ball very quickly, whether he was loafing or whether he was just not very fast anymore or whether he's dealing with some injury issues or whatever the case may be. You know, it's not the first time that people have been jumping all over his case for of how he moves in the outfield. But, I mean, that didn't look like a triple. I mean, granted, I forgot who hit it, but you know, whoever it was very quick. I mean, it was a fast runner that did not hesitate around second base, just, you know, just ran it out. But that did not look like it was going to be a triple. And then, you know, of course, Michaelis gives up a ball that Ozuna kind of misplayed as well, turned into another triple, although the run was going to score no matter, even if Ozuna caught it. But it was probably going to be a double the way as hard as it was hit. But, you know, then, of course, that run came in on scoring as well. But you know, it felt like there was a lot of times, you know, the first ball that, you know, I think the first run scored on that double that hit off of his leg, you know, and wound up passing Carpenter and rolling all the way out. I mean, that was a freakishly weird double. And then the runner winds up scoring there. So it wasn't like he pitched badly tonight. He just, you know, he had some fluke things go against him, and then, you're right, they just didn't support him.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's you can never dig out of a hole. You know, you feel bad for the starters at this point, as well as they pitched.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, even then, you know, of course, you know, Jack Flaherty gets 4 runs last night to start with, and then just fritters them away. So it's one of those rare times where you gave them runs and they couldn't do anything with it. Probably confused them. But that's kind of the way it feels sometimes. It's like, you know, we're going to complain about the offense. We're going to complain about the offense. And then all of a sudden they're going to come out and, you know, put up 4 runs in the first. And that's the time the pitching doesn't hold it. You know, I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's like, what do? You just got to throw your hands up because, you know, it is a frustrating day. And you're right. It's been frustrating. You know, even when they were winning 100 games in 2015, there was frustration because that team got out to a good start and then kind of coasted there in the second half of that season. And then, you know, they got beat by the Cubs. There's been a lot of frustration over the last 2 or 3 years, and it doesn't seem like it's going to get any better anytime soon.
Yeah. I know we're going to be, well, if they, things don't change with it. Maybe they'll play better next week to where we're just not pounding the gavel on these guys.
Hopefully so. It'd be nice to have a fairly upbeat show for a while. I don't know that we've had one of those. And I guess any time we've been upbeat lately, it was Reyes coming in. That didn't turn out. Let's talk about these guys coming back, though. We do have Carlos Martinez, who did make his start yesterday, and looks like he's coming back Tuesday. Yadi Molina goes to Springfield over the next couple of days. He should be back Tuesday as well. Molina's, less than a month? Right around a month, I guess, from when he got hurt to when he's going to be back. Which is just, that's Yadier Molina. This is a thing that would have just, probably kept a lot of people out till at least the All-Star break, and Yadi's back. And it felt like Yadi could have been back. He's been moving around. He's been, putting the gear on and stuff like that. It feels like he could have already. He probably doesn't even need the rehab. He probably could just come back, but they're being careful anyway.
Exactly. Well, it was funny when you and I were talking the other day and about possibly seeing him in Memphis next week. It's in the back of my mind, I was thinking, what am I talking about? He'll probably be in St. Louis probably tomorrow night. is what I kept saying when you and I were talking on Thursday. I was like, yeah, but he'll probably play tomorrow night.
So when Yadi comes back, you got to figure Carson Kelly goes down, and I think we need to have a discussion about Carson Kelly here in a minute. But what does this do to the catching situation? Andrew Kisner has he progressed up to Memphis when Kelly and Barron both went up. He's still there at Memphis. As far as I know, he's still starting. As far as I know, he's still hitting. Last I looked, he was hitting .333. Do you send him back down to AA just because you have to? Or do they try to work out some sort of timeshare and just, maybe flat out release Steve Barron? Although I think they kind of need him around somewhat just as a, if somebody has to go up to the majors. How does this all, maybe this is a question for Kyle more than anything, but how does this all work out?
Yeah, it seems like it's imminent, Molina coming back. We know that he'll be back soon. So this is one of those where normally I would say, hey, these things work themselves out. I don't know if this is going to have time to do so, but how this Cardinals team has been, someone will probably get hurt and that'll answer a ton of questions. but I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work out. And I think that at this point where we thought that Kisner would probably get at bats at other places to kind of get to find a spot for he to hit. I don't think that's the plan. I think he's being fast tracked to catch as well. So yeah, I don't know. I wonder about Kelly's role in the organization at this point. I know that you had questioned that as well. He's not getting them the majority of the bats that, Pena is at this point. So, I don't know. I really just don't know some of the moves, some of the things that they've done. And I know that there's a template that they're going to follow, and it's obviously successful, but it is hard to wrap your head around sometimes.
If you want to be conspiracy theory, and maybe we've talked about this before, but, Yadier Molina made a very big deal, I felt like, about, giving his seal of approval to Francisco Pena. And we kind of know that Mike Matheny is going to listen to Yadier Molina on anything, but especially when it comes to something like that. You wonder if Molina made sure to give that endorsement to Pena so that Kelly didn't come up and, hit well enough to cause some issues. But on the other side, Kelly hasn't really taken advantage of what he did get. Now,
very true.
He didn't get the run that we expected him to get. Part of that was because he got hurt. But I'm not sure he started more than, he might have started a couple games in a row. He never did much. So, chicken the egg type of thing, did he just not, would he have hit if he had played more? But, Pena had some good games. And, I was talking to somebody on Twitter today where they may have wanted to play Kelly, and if everybody else in the lineup was hitting, they could have. But, they weren't. And if Pena was going to give them some offense and a, you know, they pretty much had to go with that, even if they wanted to give Kelly that extra run. And now you could argue they don't really want to give Kelly that run, and I think that's a fair argument to have, or a good discussion to have. But, you know, Kelly didn't do himself any favors by, you know, struggling so much at the plate.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that the story with just about everybody right now, yeah, too? You know, when you were saying that, I was like, well, gosh, I don't know if we could just, if we could pin it down. But yeah, he looks overmatched, and that's another thing that's very worrisome about that dynamic of who's going to ultimately be behind the plate. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's why it's so lucky that we do have Molina, you know, to come back and obviously since this isn't a baseball related injury, maybe he'll step back in and play well. But yeah, Kelly has done himself what does he have? 2 hits since he's been back up?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I know that it's not many. So, you know, he hadn't taken it and ran with it either.
Yeah, let me pull that up because I don't know that, and I want to look this up and see. Yeah, he's 2-for-23 this year, which is not good. I'm not going to deny that. I get why Pena is playing more, but let's see. He got called up on May 6th. He didn't start that game. He started the 7th. Didn't start the 8th, started the 10th and 11th. Didn't start the 12th. Those are the only 2 games he started in a row. No, I take that back. Yeah, no, that's right. Because he started on the 15th of May, then he went on the DL, came back, 27th of May, he did that one, and then the 30th of May, he had a game there, and then he didn't play yesterday and didn't play tonight. So he's obviously the backup to Francisco Pena. And again, when your top prospect is a backup to a career minor leaguer, for the most part, I mean, I think it's fair to say, where does he stand? Now, obviously, Andrew Kisner's development fits the Yadier Molina contract better than Kelly does. I just can't see Carson Kelly staying in this organization. I don't know that his trade value is where it used to be, but I just don't know that this, I don't know that he's going to get the run that he needs, and I don't know that he's got the confidence of the manager and others that he needs to really develop into the player he could be.
Yeah, I completely agree, and they've done him no favors the last 2 years, you know.
Yeah, he's been jerked around of not playing and doing a lot. And I know, he's learning from Molina, he's learning from Matheny, he's learning. But if you don't get to use it, you know, all the theory and education only works so well. So I don't know. I think it's and it's probably telling that, you know, we went into this year thinking that Kelly was going to be the backup to Yadier Molina and that they would have to start, you know, some sort of timeshare type thing or whatever. And by the end of spring training, Kelly's in Memphis and they're, you know, making a 40-man roster move to get Pena on there. Maybe it's a situation where they've been dealing with this for a while, but it doesn't feel like they're doing the best they can to accentuate his value, because I mean they could have said, look, he's going to play every day and hope that does something. But you know, like I said, with Wong hitting well, not hitting well, with Pham not hitting well, with, you know, Carpenter wasn't hitting well to start with there for a while, I mean it came to a point where, you know, Francisco Pena that had 2-3 hit games, and so they're going to ride that hand for a while.
Yeah, that's you almost have to. I mean, it was kind of a situation where you felt like Munoz has hit his way into where he's deserved every shot now, which you just wish Kelly would do that, you know. But and you're right, the decisions hadn't been made, and he hadn't taken advantage of the shot that he has given, if he's been given a fair one at all.
Right, we're getting to about the 1 hour mark, but there are still a couple of players we haven't talked about that I'd like to. So let's see if we can hit that. And one of those is Greg Holland went on the disabled list since the last we spoke. I think he went on the DL maybe Saturday. Hip impingement. And, you know, you can kind of tough to find people that believe that that's the case, especially since Holland has spent his whole entire time in St. Louis, you know, claiming he's healthy. But it wouldn't be the first time a player's hit an injury. So, you know, I thought I heard them say though on the pregame show or during the game today that, you know, maybe Holland wasn't too far away from, you know, being back out there, and that concerned me because I figured he's going to be on the DL for a while, and then he's going to do this rehab stint, and you know, he probably wouldn't see him again until the All-Star break, if that. I don't know. I mean, one, I guess, what do you think about this injury? And two, is there any hope for Holland?
Well, I was going to say that. I thought of a question today for you while I was working, and I thought of some stuff to talk about tonight. Now I'm worried that I'm just tired and can't remember. But if I'm not mistaken, Gersh said this week that the plan was for Holland to throw in minor league games, was to work on the rehab, go to throw in some minor league games and figure it out, is what I think the line was. And I can't remember if it was Gersh or if it was actually Saxon that said that, but someone did. And the first thing that popped into my mind is I wanted to know from you if you had any faith that he would help the team. If that's the case, that he actually does go down, throw a little bit and looks good, I think you've got to give him another chance just because they don't have any answers as is. But, you know, it's one of those things. It's a mystery. We just don't know what's the truth.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of hope that there was some sort of injury there because Holland was struggling so much. I agree. I think that if he gets going, then yeah, he's going to have to. Now, again, I think I was listening to the Cardinals 24/7 podcast today, and they were talking a little bit about that. And, you know, Holland is not going to be the closer. I don't know that Holland will ever be the closer in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Although, given historical trends, they'll probably need one in September, and then he'll be the closer, and they'll.
It's yeah. Very true.
But for the most part, you know, he may get a save here and there when Norris isn't available, but he's not going to be the closer, assuming Bud Norris still pitches like Bud Norris does. And, you know, hopefully he will, although that, you know, the home run he gave up last night is not a helpful thing. But yeah, if he goes down and is very effective in his minor league rehab, and I mean, it's serious ones. I mean, you know, he's going to have to pitch at Memphis, and he's going to have to pitch more than two games, because he pitched, what, two games against Palm Beach, and one of those, I think he walked a couple batters, and they still brought him up. I mean, they can't rush him up. He's got to spend some time.
Completely agree. Yeah, completely agree with that.
But if he looks good, then yeah, you bring him up and you start him in like the seventh inning and see if that works. And if it works, then maybe, you know, your best case scenario, I think, right now is that he gets well enough that he can be the regular eighth inning guy and Norris can be the regular ninth inning guy, and hopefully they don't have to use Jordan Hicks till his arm falls off.
Yeah, because I agree with you. You know, up until recently, it didn't really bother me, but now that's the safety net. I mean, that's who they go to every time, and we see how that's going to play out. And that's what's scary about it.
Well, I mean, you know, it's partly because Bowman's on the DL, and Matheny doesn't know.
He's coming, too.
Yeah, he's got to have somebody. But, you know, and obviously Hicks has done a very good job. But, like last night, he threw 30 pitches, and he's thrown in, what, you know, 4 out of 6 days or something like that. I mean, it's you know, I wrote about it some this morning, so.
And Horton had mentioned that. You know, he was like, well, you need to start being careful with these guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, he said it several times last night.
Yeah. Well, and he pointed it out today when, although I don't think he was directing it toward the manager, but he was saying, you know, how's people, and I think he's, you know, he's obviously talking about more of a casual fan, because most of the people that are, you know, on Twitter or reading this or listening to this show, understand this, but he was talking about how you can't use Jordan Hicks or Bud Norris or everybody every day. You know, there are some nights where somebody else has to do the job, and, you know, sometimes fans are, you know, he was talking about sometimes fans complain about, well, why didn't they do this, why didn't they do that? Well, you know, partly because, you know, these guys can't get used every day. Hopefully, they can. But I think that's best case for Holland is to come back, be that eighth inning guy, Norris be the ninth inning guy. And if they're both running well, and then if Hicks can do the, what he's doing, and you know if Lyons kind of gets, and I you know I've written enough about Lyons recently, but you know if he can get on track, you know. You'd like to think that maybe some of the other guys, you know, you might get a guy like Weaver that slides into the bullpen. You know, Tui's looked pretty good over lately. The bullpen could really strengthen out real quick. But there's also a lot of ifs, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, we'll have to wait and see. That's they're going to have to mix and match a little bit there, too. You know, just can't just be simmering the same guys out. Maybe switching roles a little bit. I think that they're going to have to move some people, and they're going to need to get some fresh blood in there.
Yeah. And the other guy we need to talk about, and we've kind of referenced him a couple times in the show, is Tommy Pham. You know, let me pull up the numbers because they're significant. May was a very, very bad month for Tommy Pham. And it's starting to feel like it's more than just a slump. Well, you know, I think the easiest way to look at this is he started May hitting .341 and now he's hitting .269.
Mm-hmm.
He had 98 plate appearances. He struck out 32 times. I mean, that's, you know, that's over 30% of his, you know, trips to the plate he's striking out. And that's not Tommy Pham. I mean, he's going to strike out some. Now, he still got, you know, he had, you know, 8 of his 17 hits went for extra bases. He's still hitting the ball pretty, you know, pretty hard. But, you know, 9 walks and 198 average. You know, again, anytime Tommy Pham struggles, we start talking about his eyes.
Yeah.
With as many strikeouts as he's had, you know, he had a 1-for-21, 0-for-21 slump in the middle of this month. He just doesn't look quite right at the plate.
Yeah, and there was a misplayed ball that I don't remember. I heard a little bit on the radio this morning. I don't count the one on the ground that he booted on the ground.
No.
That egregious, you know what I mean? But somebody did say he misplayed a ball. But yeah, I agree, and that was one of those where you're just like, well, even if we don't get career norms out of Ozuna and Carpenter at that point wasn't hitting and Fowler wasn't back here, it's like, well, it seems like Pham is going to stay on the path that he kind of did last year, and probably not as good, but we knew a little bit of regression was going to happen. But boy, he hit a brick wall quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, he's ready for the calendar to turn.
Yeah, and I mean, you're right. It was the walk a game. He broke back and wound up a ball dropped in, which actually I think was the first hit. And there was another one.
You're exactly right. That's the one you're talking about. Okay, I didn't think about that one.
Yeah, and then there was another one later in that game where, again, he had a weird break to it, and he wound up catching that ball. You know, he came in and caught whatever ball. But there was a couple times where he just didn't look as smooth out there. And, you know, I think it's noticeable. They sat him tonight. They sat him about a week ago. He played, well, actually, you know, 2 of the last 3 games he sat because he just pinch hit against the Brewers on Wednesday. You know, he sat, so basically he sat Wednesday, had the day off Thursday. No, that's not right. I look at my thing wrong. He sat Wednesday, played Thursday, then sat today. You know, if they're benching Tommy Pham 2 out of 3 days, I think there's something there.
Yeah, it's, yeah, you're right. I mean, there was concern. I mean, it's, I was trying to think how Gersh responded today when they asked him, and I was listening to it first thing this morning, just some pre-recorded stuff, and they had mentioned, is there something wrong with his eyes? He goes, no, nothing at all. I mean, it's, you know, and he kind of was defensive about it. So you just don't know. But, yeah, this is definitely not the same player we saw last year.
Well, it's not the same player we saw, you know, the first month of the year.
Yeah.
You know, he had, you know, well, let's look at this. You know, until May 1st, he had, 20 strikeouts and 106 plate appearances, so more like a little lower, under 20% K rate. Hitting .341. Now, he only had three homers in that span. He's had six since, so, maybe he's, I guess if his eyes aren't off, maybe he's trying to sell out for more power, but I think Tommy Pham is smarter than that. I think he knows, he's much more effective when he's getting on base. His walk to strikeout ratio was almost one there in the first half instead of being like half now. I don't know. Like I said, if Gershon's, his eyes aren't bothering him, then his eyes probably aren't bothering him, because I think you're going to tell, you're going to say, hey, yeah, he's had it, he's had his contacts re-examined, and, we're adjusting with that or something like that. But if that's not the case, then you wonder, this is a little bit more than just a month. Now, again, he may flip a switch and come out tomorrow and hit, three for four and just go on a tear. Being that we don't have a whole lot of track record with Tommy Pham being good, it's hard to know if this is, just a blip or if there's something serious there.
Yeah, definitely a question worth asking. Something I like about Pham, actually I love it about him, and I think you see it out of Ozuna a little bit too. They're struggling worse than they have in their careers, and have really looked bad and have a reason to be down, but they still play hard. Yeah, that's the thing. They really run the bases hard. Like, I thought Pham's scoring yesterday, wasn't so automatic, and he did. So I know that doesn't answer our question, but it's still, you're pulling for guys that play that hard.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's most likely that Tommy Pham's going to turn around and get going. And if he can get going, if Carpenter can continue to hit like he's hitting, and it looks like Dexter Fowler might be coming around, maybe the offense is going to have something. Maybe you don't need, maybe one more piece is a good thing. Or, there's also, maybe Marcelo Ozuna finally figures it out. He was supposedly found a tweak in video, and, obviously Zach Gifford has written about his stance being different. He didn't see it tonight, but, maybe it'll kind of click sometime soon. But, there's possibilities that this offense could still be the very good offense like we thought it was going to be. But, again, we're starting to throw a lot of ifs in there. And, not all those ifs are going to be answered in the way we like it.
Yeah, 100%. And it is June. We've got about 6 weeks before the All-Star game, and then you're down to the you can see the finish line. Yeah. So it's kind of scary.
Yeah. It's, as Yogi said, it gets late early out there. And that's what a chance can be. Like I said, the Cardinals are sitting, I think they're just sitting a game out of the ball card, maybe a game and a half. So there's that. You want to win the division, and the division still, obviously, 4.5. There's Milwaukee, who is a good team, but also has a history of fading. Of course, the Cubs are still hanging around too, but the division's within reach, but you can't let it get too far away. And
exactly, you're a third of the way into the season. You got to make a move in the second, third.
Yep, because otherwise the third won't matter. So, all righty. Well, like I said, we've gone long, which we tend to do sometimes, but hopefully you've stuck with us. We may have a little interesting surprise for you next week. You don't want to say anything about it just yet because it may not pan out, but if so, I think it'll be kind of nice. So check back for that. Until then, Cardinals, finish up with the Pirates, then they get a day off, then they get the Marlins. And like you said, split with the Pirates at worst, and then beat the Marlins, and otherwise, there's even more questions about this team.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that's, I don't think you can go into that Cubs series around the 14th or 15th trudging along like they're doing now. So, I think they'll be something, they'll try to spark the offense in some way.
Yeah. Hopefully so. We will see. So, until next week, that is Alan. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss. And that's a winner. a World Series winner for the Cardinals.